Blog Talk Radio.
The internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Hello and welcome to In the Inner Tube. I hate to start this laughing. If you could see, welcome to In the Inner Tube.
Hello.
Your podcast, home of all that is hot and streaming in the world of online entertainment.
Indeed.
And if you could see what's going on in here, and see, we keep threatening to set up a Ustream camera.
I don't know if they'll be able to handle that.
You guys could watch what was going on in here. You know, we seem like we've got our proverbial
shit together.
But then you realize that the princess in the room is actually the chihuahua.
Who's rutting right now in a tiny little bit.
That, you know, this entire show is predicated by whether or not she's comfortable.
Do we have the peanut butter treat?
She will be comfortable in a moment, I'm sure.
And the jingling, but all this stuff.
So this is a very special week for us. It's going to be a special episode.
Indeed.
Although I'm not seeing anybody on the switchboard, so that means they haven't called in yet, which is fine.
That's okay. But we have...
That's fine.
I won't be the only Texan on the air.
You won't be the only Texan on the air.
Or Austinite or Dallasite.
That's right.
Beach.
You showed me nothing when I went down with you. You showed me nothing but Fort Worth lit up at night.
Well,
nothing.
I had plans. The universe gave me a different plan.
The best laid plans. See, Central Division is calling it the truth cam.
Oh, they can't handle the truth cam.
I don't think they would be able to handle the truth cam. Of course, we'd have to clean up this room first.
We'd have to get rid of the flux capacitor
behind my head. Yeah, all they're going to see is this. They're, you know, the microphones, the tops of our heads, and boxes.
Well, unless we shot it towards the window. Then they'll see the back of my head, the back of your head, and the computer screen. Maybe.
I'm not sure. Ah! And Bernie just joined us in the chat room, hoping he's feeling better. I have to get Mark a Skype name to dial into.
Oh, no.
Shad will check on that, how to do that.
What you got to do is, he's asking you for your Skype name.
Oh, that's not going to work.
Unless you call him.
But on the Blog Talk Radio, on the show page.
He's worried his phone's going to cut out, that's why.
Yeah, I get it. Did you not charge your phone? Because I never do. Hold on,
But he could call
why
in
don't
from
you fill
Skype,
Shad.
Right?
Let's fill Shad. One. Talk about what we were doing right before the show started.
You mean the running around with like our heads cut off like a chicken?
Watching every web series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Watching everything we could catch up on because we had a long weekend and we utilized it. Which meant that we went away from technology.
Yeah.
For a whole 48 hours, practically.
Ah.
It was the quietest thing, except for the gigantic random ghost.
Blog Talk Radio.
That's my fault. Sorry about that.
I
just went to the show's page.
Well, there you go.
Mark, on the show's page, on the regular show's page, just to the right side of the call-in number, there's a little S for Skype and a click to talk button. If you click that, it'll let you call in using Skype.
Oh, that's cool.
See there, I actually do know what's going on. You may not know that all the time, but I do know what's going on. And I was getting caught up on my... Well, I have slacked off.
Well, we were recuperating.
I have seen the new episode of Steamboat and Chick.
Yep.
I saw Copy and Paste. Which
Diary of a Single Mom.
Yeah, I saw Diary of a Single Mom season finale. I have watched the first three episodes of Infamous.
We caught up on Gotham.
I've seen the first three of Tyranny. You saw Fisher.
I saw Fisher, and I saw Dirty Bomb Diaries and Coma Period.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't watched Coma Period, and I feel really bad about that because you really like it.
It's Coma Period's interesting because it's very much along the line. It's sort of psychotropic. It's very surreal. And it, you just have to sit with the fact that this guy's stuck in his mind, and you don't, you wouldn't normally think of the things that come up, like possible spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't watched it. He, in one of the episodes, has a staring contest with a fetus.
Okay.
And he wins. Spoiler, still going. He wins, which I'm like, that's kind of creepy, but it's a ginormous fetus. And then, of course, like, oh, the episode's going to be over. And the fetus is like, oh, no, no, we're playing chess. So it's sort of like, you know, my brain would never go there unless possibly I was in a coma. And then perhaps it would. Or chasing a Snickers bar all over the place. Spoiler. And
okay.
Spoilers there. But, yes, it's essentially, you know, it has things that you would never honestly think of unless you sat with yourself. And just went, what crazy randomness could I come up with in my mind? Would I actually go after it and follow through? Or maybe I'm just crazy and I think about things like that.
Well, I can attest to the fact that you're nuts, but that's beside the point.
Right.
Is it bad that I haven't quite figured out what the hell's going on Infamous yet?
No.
I'm 3 episodes in. I hope they tell me before I run out of new eps.
I haven't watched it yet.
So real quick, before we go to the phones and start talking to Mark and Jordan, let's let everybody know what our picks were for Comedy and Drama of the Week. Comedy of the Week is tough. We watched a lot. There wasn't anything really that blew me away this week. I kind of want Downsized to bring me a new episode. Steamboat was good, but the ending, I don't know, that episode it seemed
very short.
Beth Chamberlain was brilliant as Tabitha.
Because she's going to play a grandmother.
So I'm going to give the comedy thing to Steamboat.
She got to choke Kim Zimmer.
Mainly because there wasn't a new episode of Copy and Pastry up. I still have a few episodes to watch. I've been slacking off on the comedy, y'all. I'm sorry.
It's just, you don't really, it's not your thing.
Yeah.
You have a specific comedy
I would say
type.
For me it was Steamboat.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the Tabitha character.
Right.
And her reaction to being told she had to play grandmother.
Right. I would say a close runner-up. I would agree with you on that, but a close runner-up, at least for me, would be Coma Period.
I still haven't seen that.
The latest episode was kind of funny. In that sort of, well, that would just sort of happen anyway, wouldn't it? If
yeah.
you could do anything in your head, and it's in your head, but you still haven't quite grasped the concept that you're in your mind, and you're still sort of in that physical set, yeah, it's funny.
For drama of the week, and we watched some good ones. I will say it was pretty easy to pick this week,
mm-hmm.
without any doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew it. And I will say that it wasn't even for me. The minute I watched it, I knew it. That for me, it was going to be hands down the best one of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was right. There's a lot of good dramas out there. There's a lot of good sci-fi. And again, you know, Tyranny, The Darkness Descending, these are shows that I think are in a little bit different place. I'm waiting for, you know, we're going to talk about Darkness Descending a lot next week. I think Darkness Descending, like Tyranny, like Cell, aren't really just dramas to me. They're psychological thrillers, and I almost want to put them in a different category. Compulsions, Girl Number 9, shows like that, I really want to put them in a different category than just a drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go back to pure drama for this. And for me, and I'm assuming Shad's going to agree with me, we'll find out in a second, won't we? It was the season 2 finale of Diary of a Single Mom.
Yeah. You knew just with the way they were shooting, spoiler, with the with the way that they shot through the door frame, you knew that something was going to happen for one reason or another. But I would definitely have to agree with you. The Diary of a Single Mom, its second season finale was definitely the drama pick of the week.
Yeah, Diary of a Single Mom, a drama, is really, really good. The acting is good. The writing is good. The directing is good. It feels real. It feels gritty. Like I said last week, I feel like I know these women. I feel like that building is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I cook dinner, I want to take them a care package. What was that?
That was the dog.
Oh. I want to take them a care package. I want to help them. I want to smack Trina. I want to help Ocean. I want to help Peggy's, you know, self-esteem get higher. And I'm going to admit this. And Shadow, back me up.
What?
This was the first time an episode of a web series made me cry.
Yea, though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death.
Spoiler.
I
actually teared up in that season finale. It was really brilliant. I cannot say enough about Diary of a Single Mom. And I know it was honored at the LA Web Fest this week as the web series of the year.
And kudos to anybody who was at the LA Web Fest or who got screened or mentioned or was given an award.
But yeah, kudos to Robert Townsend and the writer and director. He is the director. The writers and editors and actors and everyone involved with Diary of a Single Mom, because that is two solid seasons of one of the best dramas I've seen in a very long time, whether it be online or on television or anything else. I think it was absolutely amazing. So, I guess you're with me on that one?
Indeed. I mean, there were others. Like Tyranny was good. But I still find Tyranny to be in the sci-fi category, kind of like Luma. They're great with the drama, but they also have a different element added to them. Fisher was good.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, for those of you wanting to get kind of into Fisher, it's a thriller mystery, suspense mystery. My suggestion would be to watch the teaser and definitely the first episode to see if it rings with you. But it also falls into the category.
You know what's really
drama.
Bad, and I hate to admit this when Mark and Jordan are about to be on the show.
Oh no!
But I just saw the teaser.
Yeah.
For the cell today.
You missed so much with that. Because I watched the teaser and then I watched, you know, episodes 1-4 as a cohesive unit and refresher. But yeah, having watched the teaser, I was like,
I know. And she's telling me all about, you know,
spoiler.
Well, you know, it's spoiler alert. But she's just telling me all these general things that, of course, I would have known had I watched the teaser. I'm like, when did you see that? I didn't see Jordan. What?
Where are you looking?
What are you talking about? We never saw it. What episode was that in? Did I miss? She said, it's in the teaser. The teaser? So there's a lesson to you, dear listeners.
Watch your teaser.
Watch the teasers. Because apparently there are things in the teasers you really need to see. And that teaser really was or is a precursor to the entire thing.
Yes, it is very integral to the
I understand
show.
So much more now.
See? But that's the mark of a good teaser. That's what you want in a teaser. It was like, what show did we watch the other day? Or we read about it first and watched the teaser, and it didn't follow anything that was descriptive about it in word from the creators. And yet when you watch the series as a whole, it still didn't fit with what they were trying to convey.
No, but that show's been getting better. That was the result.
It has, yes, the result, yes. And it is getting better. It's a great show, but when you compare it to what it teases you with to pull you into it versus what you get, you're kind of like, what?
Yeah.
And I don't, like, movies do that for me. You'll see a big teaser, and some of them, especially lately, you'll notice, it's like, oh, okay, well, the whole movie was just shown to me in that teaser.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a teaser. That was a sum up. That was like, you know, the Happy Bunny doing the 60-second movie on YouTube.
Yeah.
But with this, I will say with the self teaser, it was very, very, it's what you want in a teaser.
Mm-hmm. And I think we have Jordan.
Is it working now?
On the phone. It is for Jordan, I think. We're going to find out in a second. We're going to go.
I feel so bad for Mark. I'm going to see you on TV.
Jordan?
Hi.
Hi, I thought that was you. Okay, see, I did pick the right one.
It is.
Terrible that I didn't see the teaser until today, and now I understand your character so much better.
Well, you know what? What teaser? We actually have two or three up. Which one are you talking about?
The one that just kind of pans across the top of the cell and you hear her talking.
Yes.
And then the last thing you hear is her say, I'm tired of being alone.
I'm so tired of being alone. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. See, and I never saw that, so I was like, what are you talking about? She never said that.
But in the four, and then the first episode, and there it is.
See, because I just started off with the first episode.
I see. Well, yeah, maybe we should spread the news around a little bit more. People need to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that I saw that, and I think, what if the dog barks at? There's no one here.
They're excited. Not to tell them that Jordan is on the show.
They are excited, see? Ecstatic. You have our chihuahua going crazy.
As long as it's a retriever. Cute. That's just a little chihuahua making that noise?
Well, no, there's a golden retriever out there, too.
Oh, okay.
Before I ask you anything, I do need to tell you that we found something on YouTube today.
Uh-oh.
When I was doing a search for other things that you had done, and it was a University of Texas scene from John Malkovich.
Right, yeah.
That was fun.
Oh, horrible. So funny. Yeah, that was a couple years ago, actually.
Well, it's
no one can end up on YouTube.
Yep. It's up on YouTube. I thought that was because I love that movie.
Oh, it's such a good movie. It's such a good movie. And I was doing it a little differently than Catherine Keener, but, oh, man, pretty funny.
The Keener attitude there pretty well.
You're going to beat the keys to the wall, though.
What'd you say?
I thought you were going to beam the keys through the wall when you
Yeah, that was actually, I think that was a takeout. That wasn't the real scene. I'm kind of laughing a little bit at that point, and that's the one that ended up making it in. Yeah, that's something about being an actor. You don't ever get to choose which scenes end up in the final product.
So I will say that Shad is a fellow Texan.
Yeah. Nice.
And it's from the DFW area.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dallas.
And was actually part of community theater.
The professional theater.
And professional theater scene in Austin.
Yep.
Oh, really? Oh, there's such good theater here. I've seen a lot recently. I love it.
But, yeah, Austin theater is incredible. If you're anywhere in Texas, just go to Austin. It's funner.
Yes.
No matter where you're at.
Yes, so good. I'm never disappointed.
So you go back and forth between Texas and Los Angeles now, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Headed back to L.A. In a week, actually.
Working?
No, actually, my boyfriend has a film that's premiering out there at a film festival, so it's going to be play.
There you go. Well, that's going to be fun, and I think we have Mark now, too.
Oh, you do? Is he on?
I think so. We're going to find out.
I don't know. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, you sound very ready, Mark.
Didn't you watch behind the scenes? Other behind the scenes?
I tried to watch all the behind the scenes things today.
But didn't you hear what said, and like the cast is just
and
lights out?
The cast is lights out. Yes, I did see that.
The cast is lights out.
I love that one. It makes me happy.
So when are we going to find out exactly welcome to the family meeting, Mark?
Oh, probably episode 13. Isn't that? I think that's good. It's a good way to end the first season, you know, kind of see what the family's all about and everything like that, what that means. Of course, you have to wait for, what, 9 more episodes?
Right, so now we have to wait for 9 more episodes, and then we're going to get I can just see it now. You're going to hear "Welcome to the Family" blackout because it's created and directed by Mark.
It's going to be Mark sitting there.
Be like, gotcha.
Have
So,
and
Jordan,
I gotta say, real quick, I just want to say, because the fact that you said that you just saw that teaser now, I'm so happy you guys saw that teaser and actually got something out of it, because I wanted to put something in there that would make people kind of think twice. And the fact that you actually got that, thank you. Thank you so much for catching that.
Well, I totally got it. I got the point of the whole thing. Apparently, Shad got it a whole lot sooner than I did.
You just got it. That's what it makes teasers. You see your teaser, then you watch your show.
Apparently, I should have done that from the beginning. I would have really understood that character more.
Actually, and you'll be glad later on that you saw
it.
It'll make even more sense. Uh-huh.
Well, I was shuffling around the Cell website today, and then I saw how much bigger the cast is than just the three we've seen so far, and it freaked me out.
There are a lot of little things that we've got planned.
I see that you have some things planned that's going to blow my mind. I see it coming already. Are we going to see the cattle prod again?
It's going to be creeptastic.
Well, I hope so. I don't know, Jordan, you think so?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. My character may bring the cattle prod in the cell with her. We'll have to see.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't that be nice?
No end. We had this really deep discussion about your show today. As we were getting ready for this show and bring all of our stuff up here to the studio, we were having this big discussion, funny enough, as we loaded the dishwasher over whether or not Jordan's character has actually forgotten who she is or if she's just put it somewhere in her head, or if she's
like playing a game with the people who are screwing with her, or if she's honestly just let herself go and lost it and eventually will become part of this big family. And then the thing with the voices, I'm like, ooh. Either they're both so delusional at this point that there are no voices, or that's the family upstairs.
I'm a little curious what you guys think of this. You had a big, deep discussion. What's the conclusion? What do you think?
I think that her character isn't quite as
lost,
blank slate as she would have anyone believe at the moment. And I think that the voices are the family. Chad thinks there are other.
What do you think, Chad?
I think there are. I think the voices are actually other selves, and that it's that there is a family type, but it's only after you've just completely lost yourself. And I think with her, and especially after watching the teaser and hearing that in there, she gets a little project. The guy is her little project with her. Now he's your responsibility. And I think he's bringing her out of the, okay, I'll bring my personality back out of the box, and maybe both of us together will get the hell out of here. We might have to kill a few people to do it, but we'll do it. And then they'll get out and they'll come into this big room and see all these other cells or all these other people and be like, oh, we're so screwed.
And you see now this is where Mark's going to tell us that we're both completely
right. Right? That we're just psycho.
I'm scared to say anything. I don't want to give anything away.
I'm not going to say a word. No. Jordan, I think you and I just need to keep quiet the whole time. Just like, oh, nod. Very nice. Nod, nod. Yeah, nod.
Interesting. Interesting. Gives us a lot of insight into you.
It is. I mean, it's just the whole show has me completely intrigued. I don't even want to tell you how many times I've watched episode 4. That your character says. My favorite moment in that is when he's talking about the knot and you name it. I love that moment.
Yeah, I get when she says it. She has the power to change her mind. That's the best line. It's like, I still have control over it. I still have that ability to change my mind. It's like, wait a minute, what?
That's a great, great episode.
That's my favorite episode, too, so far.
Yeah, I think everybody on the production side so far, we're in love with 4. I mean, 4 has been great. I got to tell you, I looked at some footage of 6 yesterday because we're working on getting some audio worked out for 6, and ooh, I got to tell you, it almost made me cry, and I'm the guy that shot it.
See, now you're just, that's just cruel when you talk about 5 and 6, and we haven't seen them yet.
A few more weeks, it won't be too much longer.
Another good episode, I think, was 3 with the food. When she kind of steps out of that blank slate and becomes a little more human by giving him food to the bars. I was so expecting the man to like come downstairs and cattle prod the both of them until they passed out.
That would have been great. We should have rewrote that scene.
Oh man, what were you thinking, Mark? You missed out.
No kidding.
I do want to know, Jordan, is this the first web series that you've ever auditioned for or that you've ever done?
Yes. Actually, I'm cast in another web series that will start filming in about a month, and they keep changing the name, so I'm not really sure what it's going to be called, but I'll be sure to let you know. Yeah, that's actually the first web series. Everything else I've done have been feature and short films.
So how do you feel about that? How does it compare with your other experiences? Indie film.
Oh, yeah, actually, I love the episodic feel to it. I mean, I absolutely love that. When I first got the call to come in and audition, I asked Mark to send me the script, and I'm so glad he did, but it was in a zip drive, and each episode was in its own individual folder. And so every time I finished reading the script for one episode, I had to wait, and then my computer was being really slow that night and had to click open each folder and wait for it to open. And my palms were sweaty, and I was on the edge of my seat, and I couldn't wait to see what was happening in the next episode, and the next episode, and the next episode. And it just made me fall in love with series and just doing things and cliffhangers and having more and more and more instead of everything there in an hour and a half every week. I love that. I love that format.
And how was it working with Mark?
Oh, horrible. Oh.
I'm a slave driver. Vicious, brutal.
What did you say?
You're not sitting right next to him, so you can be honest.
Exactly. Finally. Jeez.
Know where you live.
He's not even in Austin right now. You do. I loved working with Mark. I had a feeling when I first met him, he seemed very collaborative just in the audition process, which was really nice. A lot of times you go in, you do your audition, and then you hear, okay, good, now do it this way, and then goodbye. And with Mark, he brought all of us in. There were a bunch of us there for the callback, and he brought us all in. We all sat down, and he just kind of said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I want to see your personalities come into this character. Here's my idea. And he really worked with us, and no one was hired yet. And so from the very first day, I knew it would be a really good opportunity to work with a director like that, and I was pretty spot on with what the experience ended up being like.
Well, the chemistry certainly works. From what we've seen behind
that's what made the, yeah.
On screen.
I gotta say, that made it. The chemistry was a huge factor in casting. There was actually one particular time during the callback where actually Danny, who plays Brian, and Jordan, they were in the room together during the callback, and they just sparked a little bit. And that was a big, big part of that decision, is how their chemistry played off just in that callback right there. So, yeah, I'm really happy with how that turned out.
So when you were casting, because that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about this week, is casting for a web series. And I'm sure that now that we have Zim and we've got Bernie's in the chat room and Central Division is in there, when you went into casting this web series, did you have anything in mind for these characters? Did you have anything in mind as far as type, or whether you wanted film actors or television actors, or you wanted people who had done or not done web series before? Did you have anything preconceived in your head when you started casting the show?
You know, personally, not really. I think maybe one character I had kind of an idea for, but I don't like going into casting with anything preconceived, because if I just automatically assume I know what I want, I might miss out on something special. So I wanted to go into the casting just really open and see who showed up and what they could bring to the characters. You know, every actor is going to add something to the character that I may not be expecting and I may like better than what I was thinking. And I really kind of wanted to go into it with that. I did have a little bit of an idea for the man. Kevin McCarthy plays the man in there. I did have kind of an idea with that one. And I won't lie, I did kind of stick with that a little bit. But as far as the other two parts, no, I really, really just went in there and wanted to see what these actors brought to it.
That's fascinating. And I thought it was fascinating when you said that you didn't know Jordan before, right? You didn't. Mm.
No. She was just one of, I think we had about, I can't even remember. I want to say that we had 400 applications for that part. And she was just one of those 400 that came in. Just, she was one of them that we decided to look at. She did a great job. We got into callbacks, and man, did we get lucky. I mean, she's been amazing.
her character in your head when you were casting, like what she might look like?
You know, I guess I had an idea, but, you know, Felicia Day was busy, so we had to go with somebody else.
Thank goodness.
I kid. No.
I'm going to be recast in season two. I can see it already. Felicia Day. That's okay. I'll defer to her.
No, I kid. I really, you know, I obviously had in my head somebody was playing, but it wasn't anything particular. It wasn't a certain character. And actually, a lot of the people that came in were nothing like what I had in my head. You know, I actually had, if you wanted to like a quote-unquote star that you might think of, I would probably have pointed to somebody like a Daikin Lachman from Dollhouse. I had always kind of pictured her in that, and that's probably the closest thing I could say that I had any in my head. But it just didn't turn out that way, and I'm so glad it didn't, because it's been awesome. It's been great.
Yeah, Jordan, you're perfect for this role.
Oh, thank you. It's really nice to say.
You've done a great job, and the more I watch it, and trust me, I've light compulsion, because the shows are done, and similar to Central Division, I've watched the episodes, because the shows are either done or there aren't any more new episodes to watch. I keep going back now and watching Cell episodes over and over again just to see if I can catch some kind of clue. And believe me, I'd rather watch Cell than Lost right now, because God knows I don't have a clue what's going on over there. that's actually what I ended up doing last night. I started watching Lost and then got confused and then got angry and went and watched episode 4 again, and it made my night better.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great.
That's awesome. We need to talk to NBC about putting us on after Lost so we can make everybody happy again after the show's over.
Kids really are not just ready for the last episode. Yes, I said it. Anyway,
what was it like, and I would like for both of you to answer this, to work on something that is, and George, you probably had this experience before on indie films, working on something that is low to no budget.
Jordan, you want to start?
As something that actually has feature-type budget.
Was that a question for me, or was that for Mark?
For both of you, from your experience.
I'm sorry,
So, you've done some larger budget stuff. Like, I know you, in your resume, I saw Friday Night Lights in there, and some small stuff. So, I mean, what is it like to work on something with zero to no budget, or zero to a little bit budget?
You know, I wondered that before we actually got to the set, because during the rehearsals, we rehearsed at Mark's home. And he kept saying, all right, we don't have a lot of money. And so I wondered what it was going to be like. But, wow, when I got on set, I called BS on everything Mark said, because what they did with the little amount of money that they had was amazing. I mean, it was an empty warehouse with concrete floors. That's all you had. And I walked in around the corner, and it was this beautiful, creepy, cold cell, and everything was fake, and I was just blown away, and plus having people there that were working for little, and really for no money, they wanted to be there, and they loved the script so much, and they loved Mark, and it seemed like everyone was getting paid a lot of money, because everyone was really happy to be there, so I would imagine working on a 3.5 to 4 week shoot with little to no money could be a nightmare, but not in this situation, not at all. Probably in post for Mark. I know he's probably lost some hair, but
Mark,
during
the
actual
filming,
it was okay.
Was it more difficult in post, Mark, or was it more difficult in pre-production getting ready to not have that budget?
Wow, that's actually a tough question. You know, we did have a little bit of money for pre-production and production that we were able to, you know, use in some places. And not going to lie, we went way over budget, but still, we are so micro-budget, it's ridiculous. The key for everything that was nice, and what Jordan said about it not feeling low budget, was the fact that we had so many people on the crew that just loved the story and wanted to be a part of it. You know, we'd be sitting there between takes, and I had so many discussions with our prop master, Kate, about what was going to happen in season two and what she was thinking and if she was right and what happened before we started shooting and all of these things. Everyone was so into the whole story that it didn't matter. So during production, the budget, everybody just wanted to work. And I felt horrible pushing them at times. You know, there was one day in particular we had to push. I think it was, I hate to say it, was about a 20-hour day on set. But this was our last day. We had to get everything back. But everybody was into it. They were getting it done, and it made it not seem like a zero-budget production. Now, having said that, post-production, not going to lie, has been a nightmare. I mean, we've been really struggling because it's so difficult to get all of our visual effects, our sound design, everything in when people have other jobs they have to do. They got to pay their bills, and it's been tough. And, you know, we are working hard to get it out there. But, man, I'm not going to do it again. I can tell you that much. I'm going to have a bigger budget next time around.
So then after going through all of that in post-production and everything you went through in pre and getting so many people involved in the production, how good did it feel to contribute the way that you did to Cold Cast's biggest day ever?
That was amazing. That was great. I mean, I got I was actually out of town the first part of that day. I didn't even get back into town. I was on a flight that afternoon, so I didn't get in until late. I was exhausted, had a ton of emails to work. I just hammered it out, and I ended up getting an email from David Samuels, the CEO of Coldcast, at like 1 in the morning. Oh, we just passed 25,000 on sell. And he told me in their blog post that they normally expect over, you know, a few weeks to get 25,000 views off of one of their blog postings where they feature something. So we had gotten that in several hours. And by the next morning, he was calling me saying, you've got 100,000 hits going on. What's going on? So it was amazing. It was just this amazing place we were at where we couldn't take our eyes off the screen going, wow, this is great. People are actually watching this. This is, it was amazing to put all that in and then see people really start to watch what we were doing and really seem to resonate with it. It was, man, it made it all worth it.
It was amazing. And I'm so glad that it was you because you deserve it. The show's fantastic. And you know, as I'm sure you know from listening to the show and being in the chat room, we're big fans of Coldcast around here anyway. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it couldn't have happened to two better entities, the Cell and Coldcast as an entity. So I was really happy to see it.
Well, thanks for that. And I mean, we got to give, I mean, Coldcast was amazing. I mean, the fact that they've been supportive of the show and they've had us on their blog posting, featured on their blog posting, and they've really been supportive of what we're trying to do and understanding of, you know, the slow post-production schedules on occasion and things like that. They've just been amazing and supportive, and they're continuing it, you know, and I'm really, really fortunate that we were able to get involved with them, and I'm really excited about the future we got.
Do you think that Coldcast is going to be able to help or are helping a lot of small to no budget features reach a larger audience and maybe, you know, I don't know how their distribution deals work, but do you think they're making a big difference for a lot of shows like yours?
You know, I feel like they are. You know, I can say that if we didn't have the Coldcast distribution deal in hand, I think that we would be struggling to have a few hundred hits at this point. I think view-wise, we would be at that level just because we would just be one voice. And I think I heard a stat a few months back that there were 3,000 active web shows out right now on the internet. So who would we? We would be one voice out of those 3,000 shows. What Coldcast does is they're able to really kind of grab some of the better content out there, put it in one place where they have the resources to kind of say, hey, wait, look, here's something you really need to watch. So with that kind of marketing machine behind them, there's no doubt that they're going to be vital to a lot of small indie producers getting out there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Coldcast. I found a lot of shows on there that I never would have seen before. So I would agree with you there. And now we have questions coming in from the chat room. I don't know if you've seen them, but we've had the question about the composer. Someone asked if you had a composer for the seller, if you bought right.
Yeah, we do. We have a composer for Cell. Brian Satterwhite is our composer for Cell. He has been amazing. He's been a composer on a lot of short films, and he's been hyper busy. He is in Austin. And Jordan, you met Brian. I forgot. Where did you meet Brian?
Yeah. Well, he actually he composed the music for Our 12 a Goat, which is an independent feature film filmed here in Austin. And my boyfriend's the lead in that film. And so I met Brian through that connection. And as soon as I got cast in Cell, I told Mark he needed to meet Brian because he's so talented. And Brian and I have the same taste in television shows. So
that's for later on. I do plan to ask you that one. And another question from the chat room, actually from Zim the Series, from Greg, was, did you say what your budget was, or did you or can you give a range to let people know what micro budget actually means?
I think the question might want to be more is, what was the budget when I started, and then what was the budget once I've been done? Because those are two totally different numbers right there. Mm-hmm. I can say starting off, my budget was $10,000.
Right.
I would say right now, and I haven't actually looked at where we are, I would say that we're probably approaching 30.
For the whole first season?
For the entire first season, all 13 episodes, yeah. And we're still trying to, but I think 30 is a good number. I'll leave it around there.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, and that's 13 episodes, you said?
Yeah, 13 episodes. So actually, when you look at that as a per episode, that's pretty good. We did pretty good for what we feel is pretty good production value in all 13 episodes. So I think we did pretty good for that price.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think your production values are great. The show's beautiful to look at. It's gritty. It's claustrophobic. It is everything that you want it to be. It certainly evokes your music. Whoever your director of photography was, and I should look at your crew site to figure that out, but it was fantastic. Evokes everything.
Yeah, our cinematographer, Iskra Valcheva, was amazing.
I think I spelled that right.
Yes, that's right. That's how you spell it. She was actually nominated for a Student Academy Award for a couple of her projects before, and we were fortunate to get her on board. And she just has this amazing eye for light. She can do amazing things with light and just give you a beautiful frame. And we got very, very lucky, and I think it was a big score for our production to get somebody of her skill and talent on board.
It makes a huge difference. The look and feel, I think your music and your cinematography is just perfect for that. And Jordan, I don't know how you got it, and I watched it in the behind the scenes video that I did, mm-hmm. where I saw them putting makeup on you and you were still in character.
Oh yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about your training? Is it method? And how did you get into the headspace to play this character without, you know, a little bit crazy yourself?
Well, I probably did go home a little crazy some nights, actually. Something that's always, I guess we all have our news stories that bring tears to our eyes more than any other kind of news stories or certain things that pull on our heartstrings. The kind of stories that have always gotten to me, just really gotten to me, I still know these girls' names to this day, the certain stories that have affected me are kidnapping victims, murder victims, females, any female that's had to go through something so horrific. It's always just affected me, and it's hard for me to watch anything like that on screen. And so when I got this script, I felt so much for this character. And I just bawled my eyes out reading the script, especially all the way through episode 13. I had my iPod, and I just had in my heart the just an inkling, probably a fraction of the feelings that girls in real life have had to go through, and just tried to give them a voice. And music played a big role because the set was so such a fun group of people. Sometimes if I didn't have my iPod on, I could get ripped out of it if I wasn't careful, get ripped out of my mood. So they were singing Brown Eyed Girl, and I had some sad music. Yeah. What did you say?
I saw in the behind-the-scenes video when you were talking about bringing into police song.
I can just imagine, like, Murder by Numbers.
Well, I can't even imagine them starting to sing, you know, Every Breath You Take while filming that particular show.
Don't
No, actually, everyone was so cool about it. They knew when they could tell when I was in my character, and they could tell when I was Jordan. And so they were just very respectful, and people just kind of let me do my own thing and let me hang out in my style and prepare for a scene. And Mark was so sweet, and Lauren Melchor, our AD, assistant director, anytime we were done with the dramatic scene, they would come over and pat me on the back and be like, "Are you okay?" People were so courteous and so sweet about the headspace I needed to be in. So they made it easy for me.
I got to jump in just a little bit here. You guys got to understand what it was like on set for our crew with Jordan working. Because when she gets in her space, she puts on her headphones, she listens to the Lost soundtrack, she focuses really in on her character. And there were times where we literally almost had to stop shooting because our crew was in tears on the set. Our cinematographer almost had to stop a shot once because she was crying and couldn't see what she was supposed to be shooting. You couldn't help but care about what she was going through when you were on set. And, you know, everybody knew, is like, you know what, she's in her place, we got to give that to her. And it worked. The crew was so good because Jordan was so spectacular on set.
Now I want to see all the rest of the episode.
Right?
It's killing me.
Because, and I would completely agree with you, Mark, because in one of the things I noticed in just watching the first episode and then, of course, the fourth episode, and I watched them weeks apart, obviously, because that's when you put them up, but feeling the amount of compassion for this girl and wondering how long has she been there? Like, what has she had to go through to be almost reduced to being put in a little cell in her head to just, you know, wipe everything clean and just put everything that she was in a little box in the back of her brain and just sort of blank out and have her sit there watching this guy who just got there like she did going through what she had, only she went through it by herself. So, and she, yeah. So I commend you, Jordan, for being able to convey that.
And yet you've been able to give her this thread of strength that you see, especially in the fourth episode there with the whole comment about the knot and with still being able to change her mind. I think that character has a thread of strength that we will see more, I hope, see more of later on in the season.
Yeah, I think you will. Thank you for seeing that and for paying that much attention to the performance. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
Well, and
you know, you'll see the people in the chat room are paying attention to what we talk about in these shows, and they're watching them, and they point a lot of stuff out to us, and we pay attention to everything. What were you going to say, Mark?
Well, I was just gonna say, I kind of forgot what I was going to say. I really am glad that you kind of said that, because it's a really fine line with this character that Jordan's playing, is how to play it, because it's real easy. I actually did a table read with another actress who didn't audition. She was definitely not right for the part, but she played the character so different, and that's when I really realized there's a fine line between playing this character as a really, really weak character or playing it as a really, really strong character. And I think Jordan made the right choices, and we were really able to get that character to where she does have that strength that you're seeing, and I'm so glad that you see that. It's a huge deal for me.
Well, I think it's a testament to Jordan's acting ability and the way she's interpreting the character and to the way it's written. I think
the way it's written just completely did it for me. And also the directing. I've always known that directing is a very important part of an actor's performance, but until so, I never really realized that. It played a huge role. And I hope Mark and I keep coming up with ideas and keep writing things to work together again, because it was a really good dynamic for us on set. So.
Oh, I definitely would say I hope you do too.
And it's interesting that she brings that up too, because a lot of people don't grasp that concept, I think, of how you could have something that's written beautifully. You can have an actor or actress who can interpret characters like as if they were that person, and yet they have a director who tells them to do something else, and that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
And they have to either work with it and be able to work with the director, or, you know, go against the grain and try to either have their vision come out or try and just do what the director has, and people will love it or hate it based on that. But it is a nice cohesive unit. And you don't often hear actors or actresses say, yes, I had to work with my director. We had to work with that vision in tandem. That's really what made the performance.
Definitely. I've had situations, and I feel like a lot of actors have, and they probably don't talk about it because you don't want to, you know, talk bad about your director who works so hard and it's their vision. But I think a lot of us have probably had experiences where you really feel like you have this character figured out and you have an idea, you have a vision, you want to go for it, and then you get on set and the director completely disagrees. And so you have to, you know, as an actor, your job is to parlay their vision. So you kind of have to go with it.
Do you find, and this could go to either of you, but I guess it's going to fall mostly to you, Mark, do you find that in the web series kind of format where you're having shorter episodes, I know there's got to be some difficulty in the writing, because you have to use an economy of words and thought to get everything across in a short amount of time. And until you've done a lot in a very small amount of time, you utilize your time beautifully as both a director and a writer, and you bring a lot out of the actors as well. But do you think that because you've kept it small, the episodes are fairly short-ish, you have only a few characters, you have one set, do you think that that's helped you in your character development to really flesh out these characters and give them more than maybe it would have if you had a lot more time, a bigger cast, a lot more sets? Or do you find that the genre and its inherent drawbacks, like the, you know, the shortness of the episodes, the small budget, is hurting you? Like that. What would you say about that? Do you think it helps or it hurts?
Well, that's a really good question. I think that at least in my perspective right now, I think it really did help me at least figure out exactly what I was looking for, what I was going for, because I really could just focus on these two characters. I didn't have to worry about, okay, there's going to be a huge building with cars running all over the place, and I've got 25 people chasing them with guns. I didn't have to worry about anything like that. It really was just about these characters, and it really became just a character study for me. It was, you know, what can these characters do? And I think that, wow, I'm really glad I got to do that, really, because it really does, I think, force a writer to sit down and look at what's most important in a story, and that's the characters. You know, you can get caught up in a story about a vampire that falls in love with an assassin who works for the Yakuza in Mexico City. Okay, great, but what about these characters? And I think it was great for me to have this kind of limit right now.
And Jordan, did you find that it was easier to concentrate on your character because there wasn't a wholly, you know, like a big, huge cast, a lot of sets, you know, a huge number of people in the crew that you were able to just sit down and really, and not only concentrate on your character, but contribute more than maybe you would have on a larger production?
Yeah, that's also a really good point. I haven't really thought of it that way. Yeah, I'd say that would help because there really are. It's Kevin, which plays the man, and then Brian, the character across the cell. So I had to focus on how I felt about these two people and how I felt in this one environment. And that's a really good point. I haven't really been in anything else where I had one room. I was confined to one space, one or two characters. It's usually wardrobe changes and change of environment. And, yeah, that probably did help.
Yeah, like, you know, just to help you get deeper into the character because you didn't really have a whole lot of distractions.
Yeah, it wasn't the distractions at all. Mm-hmm, that is so true. And I think that's something I love so much, once again, about the script is that it's so character-driven, so much about the relationship and the character development and the dialogue, that we did get to focus on that singularly. And I love that, the environment, everything played into it, and the small crew, the small cast, probably all of it, yeah.
So, Mark, how long have you been – I read your bio on the site, the real one that you sent, although I liked the wolf one too. Where did the idea for the cell come from? Is it a product that's been in the back of your head for a long time as you were, you know, in the writer's room for the production company and you were doing all of that stuff and you've done some other stuff too, but was that – I know this is your first major production, but has the story been in your head for a long time? And if it has, where did it come from?
You know, I think the story kind of came from a lot of frustration, really and truly. Because I got an opportunity a few years back to work on developing a TV show with a small production company in Austin. They were putting together a one-hour drama that they were going to pitch to the major nets and try to get on, and I was one of three writers that they asked to kind of come in and help develop this series. So I spent several months with these other two writers just hammering out the series Bible, the episodes, everything in there. We were great. We were ready to start casting for a pilot, and then the producers backed out, and everything just went away suddenly. And that left me with a lot of frustration, and I kind of got tired of writing and never producing anything, never seeing what I was writing being made. So I really just started to get the idea of what kind of minimalistic story could I make to take advantage of new media streams. And I just sat down and said, okay, I want one location, two characters, go. And it just kind of sat there. And I probably wrote it over a month, maybe 2 months. And then it just kind of sat there for a while until I finally decided to go out and produce it. So this isn't – I've got other stories that have been kind of floating around for, you know, several years. And Cell, I guess, has been doing that too in a way. But it really just came out of frustration. It came out of me saying, you know what, I need to make something instead of just writing something. There's a difference. If I'm not producing what I'm writing, then why am I writing?
Exactly. And I know you probably have other stuff in your head that you want to do now. So do you have other things you want to develop besides the cell, or are you going to concentrate on the cell until the story is complete?
Oh, no, I have every intention of developing as much as possible. I definitely want to continue with cell for as long as we can, as long as there's good feedback and we can get good funding for it. But you know, there's another show that we are working on. Actually, it's tentatively right now. It's another vehicle for Jordan that we're working on. A lot bigger vehicle. And the dog loves that idea. She thinks so.
The dogs are it's a great idea. They're
always having a party. Write the dog into the script.
Yeah, Chihuahua loves Jordan.
But you know, I've also got a. We're also doing a deal where we've got kind of a pseudo-documentary. We've got a group of six kids that, with Lovable Environment Productions, we've got six kids who are 7th and 8th graders who go to a school that kind of has restricted their media exposure, and we're taking these kids and we're teaching them how to make their own web series. And it's really interesting. These kids are brilliant, but they've got limited exposure to pop culture and media, so they have these really original, great, brilliant ideas, and we're kind of doing a little documentary over them learning how to make these films, and we're hopefully going to eventually shoot it and show them what they put together. So that's kind of fun right now.
That is awesome. I love that. So I know I have a couple other questions for you, but I know Shad had a question specifically about I don't know what you were talking about. Zach Scott?
Oh, yeah, because that's where I was wondering if, because you are around and in Austin, utilize that, if anyone, Zach Scott has tried to jump in the fray and say, hey, I would like to audition.
I'm trying to think. Jordan, do you know Scott's done a lot of work with Zach?
I'm sorry, could you say that again? It was kind of hard to hear. About the Zach Scott Theater?
Yeah, the Zach Scott Theater. That's where Shad was.
I love them.
What was
the question? Are they working on shows right now?
If there was anybody that had been involved with Zach Scott that's also involved with Self.
Oh, that's a good question.
I want to say, I think Scott Friedman has done some work with Zach Scott.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. He does a lot of theater.
So that's funny. You worked with him?
I worked with Scott Friedman, yes.
He's a fun
guy.
Really? He's great.
Yeah.
That's a great guy.
Awesome. I believe I worked with him in Urinetown. So.
That's great. And Scott's really busy right now, too. He is always in something, either on stage or on screen. He's doing something right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I can't go to a screening without seeing his face.
You guys are having the theater complement of people who don't get whatever shows are running in stock for like the State and Zach Scott and other theaters in the area, if you're seeing more influx of theater actors coming out from either UT or any of the other universities around there or the professional circuit trying to get into web series as well.
Wow, I had not even thought of that.
Oh yeah, actually I feel like in Austin a lot of people do both.
Mm-hmm.
We all wish there was more. There's definitely more theater and acting opportunities here than there is in a lot of cities, but never enough to go around because there's so many creative, talented people here. I feel like most people I know that do theater also do film and would love to get involved in web series as well.
Yeah, it does seem kind of like that. I've known a few actors who are... I will talk to them 1 minute, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm auditioning for a new web show. And then the next week, like, oh, I just got cast in something down at the Vortex Theater. And I'm like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. So you are doing both. I think you have to where we're at in Austin right now.
Yeah.
It's a prerequisite for being in theater in Austin. Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
You know, Mark, that one of the big things that we've talked about on this show for the last few weeks, and probably since the beginning, is monetization of these web series content. And how you guys are going to make money, how your budgets are going to become bigger, how it's going to stay worthwhile to continue producing independent content. So what are your thoughts on that and sponsorship and distribution? I mean, how do you think the industry, as young as it is going to start making money? Do you see it happening with branding and using sponsors, you know, like ad placement or product placement, or do you see it more in a distribution way, or how do you think that it's going to become worthwhile for people to continue producing? And by the same token, how would you like to see it happen? Because obviously you're able to get picked up either by a sponsor or for a nice distribution deal. Not everybody can be the Guild, obviously. But so that you would have a budget and be able to continue to produce the cell or whatever else that you have in the works, how would you like to see that happen? I know it's a heavy question, and Rune in the chat room is right. It is a heavy question, and it's something that we've been leaving as an ongoing conversation, but I respect you a lot, and I would like to know your thoughts on it. And you too, Jordan, if you want to talk a bit about how that's going to happen. I mean, as an actor, you obviously want to work on productions where you can get compensated for your work. So, I mean, how do either of you see that?
Man, that's, wow, okay. Let's see, where to start?
You know,
yeah, I mean, obviously the monetization deals nobody knows right now. I think that there's definitely, I think it's definitely going to happen, but I think that the big key from my perspective is that really and truly advertisers need to quit being scared of the new media. They have the tools with internet streaming and with new media streams in general, they have the tools to hyper-target their audience like never before, but they're not taking advantage of it because they're afraid and they're unfamiliar with the territory right now. I think that we've really got to get advertisers over that little hump. Instead of spending $10 million on a Super Bowl ad where you're just going to do the classic spray and pray advertising, shoot it out there to as many people as you can and hope something hits, You can have the same kind of impact at a tenth of the cost if you're willing to put that investment and take that chance on something that is a new media stream that can really, really target. They can say, these are our viewers. I can tell you exactly what my demographic is. These are the people who are watching our stuff. If you're interested in this demographic, we will hit them. And I don't think that advertisers are, I guess the term might be, mature enough to see that right now. Is that sounds a little snotty, doesn't it? Maybe mature is not the right word.
No, but I mean, I agree. I'm not sure if it's maturity or if it's just they're stubborn,
afraid of it, or
definitely afraid of change. They don't understand new media. I think the same thing would hold true with the Nielsen rating system. It's so antiquated, and yet they won't change, even though they have the facilities to do so. They have the technology to do so. They because don't understand. Advertisers especially don't understand new media. They don't understand alternative delivery methods. They don't get that even if we are watching traditional television, we're not watching it in a traditional way. We're getting it online.
Right, exactly. And people are just afraid right now. Now, having said that, I think as producers, we can't sit and wait for advertisers to catch up with us either. I mean, if we really do care about the medium and we really want to see it progress, I think we've got to take a lead in trying to find ulterior ways to finance our products, whether it be, I know a lot of people are into branding, doing branded entertainment, which you know, I have mixed feelings on. I don't think that we've really seen enough experimentation with peer-to-peer financing, personally. I mean, there are a few people I know of, like the Indiewood Project, the guy in London that's filming the zombie movie purely off of donations. You know, the Guild was funded, her entire first season was just from people that sent money so that they could keep the production machine moving. I think that there's definitely a possibility in that, so it's kind of like a pseudo pay-per-view kind of arrangement. And I don't think we as producers, independent producers, have done quite enough to really push those new monetization streams. And I think that's a challenge for us as well. So I put it on advertisers. I also put it on producers as well. I think it's going to be a team issue if we're really going to make it a viable medium.
Well, and I think, honestly, I think there are those of us in the audience, too, because even though I have a show where I review it, and I guess to a certain extent we're press, although I hate that term, I'm part of the audience, too, and I will take some of that responsibility on myself to tell advertisers, you know, yeah, I love your product, and I'm using it, but I'm not using it because I saw the ad on the Super Bowl. I'm using it because you had a really interesting interactive ad pre-roll on a cold cast series, and that's why I'm watching it, and that's why I bought it. I mean, I think it is also incumbent on the audience to let our advertisers know what we're watching, how we're seeing it, what we like and what we don't like. Look at Procter & Gamble. They're a huge, huge advertiser. So we have to let them know that we are indeed using Procter & Gamble products, but it's because we're seeing them advertised in new media, not because we're seeing it advertised in traditional media. So I think it's all of us working together. I hope that makes some kind of sense. You're awfully quiet.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, no, that makes perfect sense. I would agree with that. I think it really is just kind of everybody working together. This is a new media stream, and if we really want to make it viable and if we really want to keep the independent spirit that's all over the place right now, I really think that we do need to all work together and really say, hey, this is something good we need to support. So, yeah, I agree completely.
I mean, by the same token, I don't really want to see, you know, a takeover of independent or online television by the big networks either. I don't want the only content I can find online to be CBS, NBC, Fox.
Brought to you by Procter & Gamble.
Exactly. I want to see.
Right. Like all the TV shows are starting to have their spinoff web series now.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, Glee has their own webisodes. And I agree it started back with shows like South of Nowhere and Homicide: Life in the Street. But, you know, I think this has to be, because it's new media and because it started open source, for lack of a better term, and independent, I would like it to keep that independent spirit and that independent streak and not become so homogenized, like we see network television homogenized and boring right now.
Everybody's doing the same thing, or they're trying to find that one big project that
everybody can copy
everybody
and then
can already do or has done, or we're trying to rehash old shows and they're not working, and because nothing's original anymore on TV.
You know, I mean, I think it has to. There's so much creativity in web development right now, and I would hate to lose that too. So there's a fine line, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. And, you know, I should say also that I've had some conversations with some people who have talked about possibly financing some other projects and things, and they do come at it from a very market-oriented position where it's like there are certain things people want to see. You know, you can't have anything lasting more than this time. It has to be this kind of format. And it almost feels kind of like a traditional media stream, and I'm afraid that we might fall back into that model just because that's what people are comfortable with. They're comfortable with that traditional type of media route. And I would agree. I hope that we don't go that way. I hope that we can maintain this independent spirit through everything.
Yeah, I mean, you'd hate to fall back into that. Well, you know, it's the one thing I really can't stand is people are like, well, audiences have a short attention span. No, we don't have a short attention span. We just get bored quickly.
Because we've seen it.
When everything is the same. I have a short attention span for The Bachelor, absolutely. But I could easily watch a 30-minute episode of The Cell and be perfectly happy, or a 30-minute episode of Compulsions and be thrilled.
That's because most series, reality TV series, only work with the first show. Because that's the first new thing, nothing happened before, and then it's 10 years later, we're still doing the same show, and we ran out of ideas, so it's like Survivor, you know, villains versus the good guys. It's like, really? That's all you can come up with? Did you go everywhere on the planet now, and we just have to fight against each other? I'm tired of fighting. We're not shit, but that's what reality TV does to my brain.
Well, and I think that's why I think it's incumbent on the audience as well, on us as audience members, to say that's not what we want to see and quit watching redundant, mind-numbing, stupid reality television or television shows that are nothing more than a rehash of what was a good idea 10 years ago. And let you know what I mean? We have to be a smarter audience. We have to be a more intelligent audience.
I would agree with that 100%. Got to convince the rest of the population out there.
I think you have a smart audience, Mark.
Well, thank you. I hope so. You know, we actually, I'm going to tell you kind of an embarrassing story, and Jordan, you were there, so you can vouch for me on this. We're fortunate here in Austin that we have the Alamo Drafthouse Theater, which, for anyone out there that doesn't know what the Drafthouse is, it's an amazing theater. They are really, really true film and television fans. They have parties for the big shows that are coming out. Geekdom loves the Drafthouse. And they had an event not too long ago. It was an open screen night where anybody could bring anything and they wanted, and they would put it up on the screen. So, you know, we said, hey, let's bring out the first episode of Cell. Let's throw it up there, and let's let people see the first episode of Cell. Sounds like a great idea, right? Well, maybe not so much. We we realize that everyone else that brought stuff to the draft house for this viewing, they basically brought 2-minute clips of dogs roaming around town taking craps on the sidewalk. We were basically booed off 30 seconds into our clip because it didn't feature some guy making some weird noise with his body or some dog doing something crazy.
And the people that were sitting around us really liked, they were like, wait, I wanted to see what was going to happen next. But because it didn't involve feces, and like talking nude cartoons, they hit the gong and we were off.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You have to find, you know, those Alamo Draft House scenes are, you have to find the right night. Like, it's okay.
You know what? In all fairness, the artistic director over for the Draft House, I had been emailing him beforehand about some things, and he sent me an email later. He didn't realize we were going to do that, and he said, you know, oh, I really wish I had realized you were going to do that because this crowd was not going to watch Cell. And, you know, he was right. They did not watch Cell, and we definitely learned a lesson. But it's just, you reminded me of that when you said you think we have an intelligent audience, because I think if they're able to watch our show and they're not just looking for dog crap on the sidewalk, we're doing okay.
That's going to become
fecal matter and fart jokes. We're not looking for that.
That's going to become a constant thing on this show. I just know it. We're going to constantly now be saying
that should be on the
We are the audience that is not looking for dog traffic.
Dog traffic.
Yeah.
That's going to be our new slogan for the next season. We're going to be, if you don't want dog crap, watch Cell.
Well, exactly. You know, when you watch shows like Cell and Compulsions and Central Division, and I'm talking about the shows, obviously, that I like, but I would also pull in Tyranny and Infamous and Lumina. These are shows that I think assume the audience is intelligent enough to figure out what's going on. And I think, by and large, in web series in dramatic form, now that may not, it doesn't always play this way in comedy because there is a lot of dog crap and fart jokes in comedy in web series.
And that's light.
Yeah, but I think for dramatic series, for the most part, the shows treat the audience like they're smart enough to fill in the blanks.
Or at least pay attention.
There are quiet spaces that allow actors to interpret. The dialogue doesn't tell you everything. The audience is allowed to figure it out on their own. You're not telling us every little thing that's happening. In Cell, you're allowing us to figure out what's going on with Jordan's character. In Bernie's show, Compulsion, we don't know anything.
No, but it allows you as an audience member, as a viewer, to engage. And like we were in the chat room, and even when we first started the show, was to give our impressions of what, in our minds, this show has brought out. Because we're sort of an intelligent crowd, and we're not just okay with dog crap.
Yeah. I like the idea that, and maybe it is, because there is an economy of words, because you are dealing with, and I think really the only reason that web series have shorter time span is because it's a monetary thing, the budget thing. But because of that, the writing has to mean something. Every word means something. Every interpretation that Jordan does means something. Turn of the head, the way she looks, the way she sighs, it means something. So, you know, I think it does mean something that she's the woman and doesn't have a name yet. Those things you leave for the audience to figure out. You didn't tell us. And I love that. And I love that about a lot of the dramatic series that I'm seeing in new media right now. But yours is at the very top for me. You're up there with very few series in my head that are that good.
Well, thanks, first of all. That's
thank you very much.
Not just saying that, but you're both on the show. I mean,
of course,
I
yes.
We felt comfortable putting this content online ahead of time, just knowing the shows that are out there and the people that we've talked to, that they are intelligent and that they are going to pay attention to detail and that they would get the little clues that are thrown out there. And I know Mark has had full faith in that the whole time.
Well, yeah, that was actually a big thing when I was deciding on what kind of show I was going to make. I had a lot of people say, oh, comedy's the way to go, comedy's the way to go. And I couldn't do it. There's just so much out there, and it's just, I really think that the audience is mature enough to handle a drama that there is a lot of subtext, there is a lot of mystery, there is the mystery box, if you will, and I really, really wanted to make something like that. So I'm glad you guys are getting this stuff. I've been a little worried, but no, it sounds like you guys are really, really seeing some of the little clues that have been dropped, and I like it. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and I'm glad that you're doing it. And I do think that's the difference between web dramas, and weigh in on this and what you think, and in the chat room too. In the difference between web dramas and the majority of what's on network TV. What we're seeing on network TV is jaded advertisers, jaded producers, and I don't mean all of them, but by and large, speaking down to the audience, writing down to the audience, acting down to the audience, rather than expecting the audience to be intelligent enough to follow the story.
I hate to say it because I love television. You know, I would love to write for television at some point, in all honesty. But I do see that at times, and that's frustrating. And that's why whenever there's a great show that comes on television, I am just all over it every chance I get. But I do think that that is unfortunately something that's happening right now.
I think people don't know how to write. You said the magic word, Mark, with subtext. I don't think there's enough of that going on, at least in mainstream television anymore, where the writers and creators give enough leeway to their audience to actually, you know, to put subtext in their writing so that the audience has something to engage in, as opposed to here's how it is, here's the story, just watch it, do what you want to do, and go. Don't think too much about it. Just go.
Right, right. I actually want people to think about it. My ultimate goal is to have people talk about what they think is going on here. And, you know, I'll be honest, if there's one disappointment I've had so far with the things that have happened with Cell, it's that we don't have as many people on our forums talking about things as I wish we did. But, you know, the good news is people are still thinking about it.
That I just noticed you had a forum today, so I will go over there and post. I'll encourage everybody in the chat to go over. Can you link to it?
Yeah, I got it.
That would be great. Yeah, because I would love to have that.
And Downsized is here.
Hey!
Hey,
so
Downsized.
Mark and Jordan, do you guys mind if we take some calls now with you guys still on the line?
That'd be great.
No, not at all.
Okay, so we're going to go to the phone and see how many people we can get on here before Blog Talk kicks in. Area code 323, you're on Indie Inner Tube. Who's this?
Hey, it's the dog. It's your dog correspondent, Venice Riley.
This is our dog correspondent, Venice Riley, and Mark and Jordan.
Venice Riley.
Riley won LA Web Fest on behalf of Indie Inner Tube this past weekend.
Oh, that's awesome. How was it?
Oh, my gosh. So many creators there, and everybody was really interested in what everybody else was doing and talking about what all y'all are talking about. For the highlights on the business side of the deal, I heard lots of interesting things. Some people, because of traffic, think you got to be on YouTube, and I don't think I necessarily agree with that because you're competing with exactly what you said in Austin at the open screen night, which is, you know, a million cat videos. And I think that encourages a lot of click-through. It encourages a ton of click-through, and I don't think, you know, that you get subscribers there, and it's just like a huge audience market. But at the same time, they turned around and say, like the Fine Brothers, who are huge, they turned around and said right after that, gee, we wish we were on YouTube back at the beginning, because those people who started video blogs on YouTube right at the very beginning are huge and stayed huge forever. So I'm like, so why not be on Coldcast when it's not that big of a deal, right? When it doesn't have those gigantic traffic numbers. So people were all over the map, and the only thing that there was 90% agreement on was that they're all using Panasonic HDX cameras, and that's about it. Everybody's
okay,
using.
Okay, so Mark, you got to pony up, Mark. What kind of cameras are you using?
Well, we're going to use something different in the future, but we did use a Panasonic HDX 170A. It's true, but I'm really getting sold on the new DSLRs. The picture quality from the digital SLRs is just amazing. You don't have to worry about any of the adapters. You can get near 35 millimeter quality at a native 24 frame rate with the $1,700 camera. I mean, that's, come on, what else can you ask for? So we're probably going to be going to DSLR.
I've got news for you. I just bought a T2i, which will also do a 24 1080p, 24 frames, for $800.
Oh, see? That's amazing. That's great. That's great.
It's like a 7D without the little readout on top and not so big and a plastic body. That's the difference. And it won't shoot 8 frames a second still, and that's it. But I heard another fellow there, and for not knowing which web creator he was that Canon's not quite there yet on the editing features, and so messing with your audio and editing your video is a little bit harder, that people figure it out eventually, but that's why people mostly go with the Panasonic is all. Yeah, certainly nothing to do with the quality, just their ease of ability to play with it and familiarity of their editing people with it.
I'm still jonesing for the red one. Is that bad? I'm never going to get win the.
It's beautiful.
Somebody else they shot with a red one, and I remember thinking, "Oh my gosh, that's really pretty, right?" Right?
Yeah.
People with money can get a red one.
Yeah.
It's just wow, beautiful but expensive camera, ridiculously expensive camera.
Too expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing, distribution point I heard from the festival creator, because this was the very first inaugural event, was Michael Ajakwe at Ajakwe TV said that they charge $1 an episode for his series Who, dot, dot, dot. And every episode is like, who is this? Who is a hot mess? Who whatever of the thing of the week is, or... And that they charge $1 an episode. He hosts it all at his site, and I guess he gets about 20,000 views a month. So how much more does he need? That's got to pay for a server or two, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think I need to change my monetization strategy.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah,
maybe you can
pick
up on your
site. I think it's going back. Yeah, it's back to what you said, Mark. That. There isn't any one way to do it yet. No one's come to a consensus on the best way to do it.
I can tell you they were all very interested in the topic, and I heard one creator say, basically, I don't know how much money I spent. I think it was the guy who wrote Bluebell, which is, of course, about a hooker. Won't that be popular, right? But it was a really good show. I was surprised because normally I don't like that topic very much. And his credit roll was amazing. His beginning and ending and stuff is fantastic, beautiful. And he said he just basically asked people if they wanted money out of his wallet because that's what he was used to. Does anybody want any money?
I know, Riley, that the Bannon Way was there. And they were on a Q&A panel. So, and I know there's a lot of talk about the Bannon Way. Mark, what do you think? Yeah, I mean, what do you think of the Bannon Way and what happened to them with Sony, and what that might mean for other series down the line?
Well, I think there, obviously, I think it's good for the medium in general. Anybody that can get a $1 million budget based on what they did just as a test video, I think that's amazing. At the same time, I think it does fall a little too much into the studio model at times. I think if I had a $1 million budget, holy cow. I mean, the things we could do, I can't even begin to think. We would have, like, spaceships flying from, just to have them, because we could, and they would be amazing.
Does that work for the Bantamweight guys? The whole thing to themselves. They worked for 2.5 years. They shot the Bantamweight, and then they reshot it because Sony wanted stars in it. And they basically said, get by Friday or the deal's off. So they reshot it. So that they got names in it. So were you going to pay for a bunch of, so they got to keep their one lead guy, Mark, right, and Gant, their, head basic writer, producer, director, craft services. But they had been working on the Bantamweight for 2.5 whole years. They negotiated with Sony for 6 straight months and didn't get anything different than what Sony brought to the table in the first place. and had to recast their whole show in like a week or else.
Well, let me ask you this if I can real quick, because it brings an interesting topic to me, because I've had a few people say things, well, we need to get a name cast, and it does seem like the Bantamweight, they did have to spend a lot of their money getting names, and it seems like that's the way some content creators are really getting noticed, is just essentially stunt casting. You could argue that Reese was a case in point of stunt casting, but it worked. It worked for the Bantamweight. It worked for Reese. Is that something that we're looking at? Are we looking at it really becoming a stunt casting kind of market? If you want to be successful in web content, does every video have to have a Felicia Day or a Sandeep Parekh? I mean, do we really need those people?
I don't know, but it couldn't hurt to have one or two of them, right? The good news is that if you put all the effort in and you're the one that spent all the time, that you probably won't have to recast your, main lead or two. It's just all the other people. Same thing happened with Control Z and their deal with NBC. They shot one episode, they had to reshoot the pilot episode with a little bit bigger names. But the good news is these deals happen after they get the promise of money, so it's not so hard to find the name. But
all right. Well,
at least have to cast the most time and the most sweat into the thing, right? A guy like you with such a small cast might just end up with a bigger cast than other people in your, parts upcoming, like if you were to get a big sponsor before your next season or whatever.
Well, didn't that happen with Sanctuary too? Because Sanctuary did, 8 episodes, and then they got picked up by Sci-Fi or bought by Sci-Fi, and then they had to reshoot all of it?
It was because Amanda Tapping, being an executive producer, put up $2.1 million to do the actual web series, which was great because, if you work for the Sci-Fi channel and do Stargate for about 11, 12 years, you can have that kind of money to throw around. But when Sci-Fi bought it, she remained as executive producer, but they reshot it, gave her like a $40 million budget, and, but they had to take the entire web series and just basically make it one episode and then go from there. Recast a couple, refilm, reshoot.
See, I think I kind of come down on the side of Mark, with Mark, and saying that is, a lot of this starts to smack of the old traditional studio system to me after a while. When you
I got a question for Mark on that.
Go ahead.
I think these, I'm curious to know what Mark thinks, that people are approaching these, business deals as that's a lot of money, when the reality is it costs like $5 million to shoot a pilot that's going to air 10 episodes or whatever and then get canceled. But they're picking up these shows for at the most like $1 million, right, with the Bantamweight. And that's a cheap deal. So I think the only thing that's stopping them is everybody with the perception of it's a lot of money, and these people are used to doing deals with their friends and only their friends and people they know instead of unknowns. And that's it. And so once you can get around those two things, it's actually a good business decision for them to start sponsoring and picking up these shows.
So what do you think? Do you think it is just because it's what they're used to doing, that they can throw $10 million at a pilot that's only going to air 2 episodes, but they don't even want to throw $500,000 at a series that's maybe proven online already?
Well, it does kind of feel that way at times, and maybe that's just me being bitter and spiteful, locked away in my cell in Austin and trying to do things. I don't know. But it does kind of feel that way at times. I mean, you're looking at an episode of a network TV show that costs $2 million for one episode. Okay, I get that. That's a lot in the grand scheme of things. For $2 million, we could make two seasons easily and still have what I feel we could have the same kind of quality. It's just a different way of making the productions. And I'm not sure what the cause of it. I'm not sure outside of union contracts and things like that why it's so expensive to do that kind of work. And I don't know. I'm probably rambling right now. Am I rambling? I feel like I'm rambling.
You're not rambling. Not at all.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a good answer for that. I'm not even sure I have a good thought right now.
I don't know. I mean, $1 million, like Zim just said, or Greg just said in the chat room, $1 million is pennies when you're talking about TV money for pilots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it really is.
And that's like nothing. They're picking these web shows up for a song.
Well, yeah, I've actually had people talk about, well, what about these shows? Could you get picked up and just use, let's say, season one of Cell as a pilot? Well, sure. How much does a pilot cost the network to pick up? $30,000 for a pilot? That's pennies. Pennies for what they normally spend on something. So how are we able to do it? How are we able to do a good, high-quality production for $30,000 as opposed to $2 million?
Yeah, because if somebody doesn't take a chance and doesn't start to move towards that, then what we're gonna end up with is, you know, Lost and all these other shows are just gonna move online, and it's gonna be. And I'm glad in a way, and Bernie's right. Sony did take a chance with Bannon and with Angel of Death. So somebody is taking a chance somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Sci-Fi did take a chance on Sanctuary.
That
but
is true.
I do
think there are people that are starting to take some chances. It does feel like that there's a little more of acceptance in that. You know, at South by Southwest, there was a panel, and talking to some of the executives from Fox and NBC, they really are looking at web content as viable stories, as something that they can really leverage and really invest in. So I think that there is starting to be a shift, and I think it will change. I think we're just kind of in this weird in-between phase right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's because that they don't think that? Possibly because the advertisers don't think that? I think if the advertisers bought into new media and bought into the web as a serious, viable way to reach their demographic, that the studios and the big money would have to follow.
Follow, yeah.
I think they would have to follow.
I would agree with that, but then again, looking, Bernie's got a good point. There hasn't been a huge ROI. You know, what's the return on the investment for web series so far? And I don't think that a lot have really shown a big return. I think that obviously Dr. Horrible has. The Guild, I'm guessing, has. They're doing pretty well on their own. But outside of a few exceptions out of the 3,000 shows that are out there, Bernie's got a really good point. Where's the return? Who's going to invest if we can only show this very limited return?
Right. But how are they measuring the return? Was there any talk about that, Riley, at the LA Web Fest? I mean, how are they measuring the return on the investment?
There was a lot of talk about numbers and about the fact that even people with huge numbers have a hard time getting any kind of sponsorship. And, you know, their YouTube counts, their click-away rates, their peak viewing within their video, and when people leave and if they watch the whole thing. They pay attention to all of that, right, so that they can, you know, have talking points, I think. As they talked about releasing your videos at the same day and the same time on the same schedule, and how that is how people know when to find you, when to see you. They talked about taking care of your hardcore fans because they're like an online street team for you. stuff like that. But right now, I think a lot of these people are going to make their first shows, and when there starts to be money in it, they're going to be the people with the experience in the industry who can say they've done it before and they've had success getting viewers. But I think it might be a little while before the industry matures into something that where it's not so hard to find the cash. Because the vast majority of these people are thank God, not in it to make their rent money.
And see, and, Mark, there it comes back down again to that word, maturity.
True. Yeah, I think you're right.
And again, I think it also comes back to the audience. The advertisers aren't going to believe, they're not going to understand where we're coming from if we don't tell them. We have to tell them, you know, I'm doing this because I see that you've made an investment in new media, not because you took an ad out on the series finale of Law. It's got to pay off for them, and I don't think there's any real coherent way to measure right now. Because they can't, I don't know, YouTube Hits isn't doing it.
And hopefully they don't go the way of the Nielsen box to try and figure out ratings.
And you can't really go with a subscription model. We've talked about that before, because if there are 10 series with a subscription model, I'm going to pick maybe two that I can afford to watch. I'm not going to be able to pay $10 to $25 per season for 10 different shows, if that makes any kind of sense. Just not in this economy. Did we lose Mark and George?
No, I'm sorry. I was really about to say something profound, and then I saw something about T-shirts, and I lost my train of thought. So there was a bit of...
What was that you were saying earlier about attention spans, Destiny?
Ooh, shiny object.
Everybody has T-shirts. We have calf
shiny
jackets. I'll buy calf jackets. That's what I want.
Okay, calf jackets. I'll see what I can do on that.
Yeah. Productivity. But I do, I do think, and there are some other calls that want to come in, but I do think it is incumbent on everybody to make this work. The audience has to be as intelligent, letting the advertisers know and the sponsors know what we want to see and what we are watching, as we are when we actually watch the content.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, here's a question that I just want to throw out there and see if anybody has an opinion. One of the things that we've been looking into for Sell to kind of increase our reach is doing some more traditional advertising on our point. I don't think a lot of web series advertise. You know, you don't see a TV spot for a web series. Well, why not? If we can get a TV spot that'll hit 300,000 fans on sci-fi, is that a bad investment? Is that not a viable way to increase our reach and therefore increase our attractiveness to advertisers to then come back to us? It's something we've been toying around with, and I'm kind of curious if you guys have any thoughts on that.
I think, and I would be curious to see what Bernie and Greg and Downsize think and the other people that are in the central division. They're all in the chat room. I don't think it would be a bad idea to, if you could afford or find a way to do television advertisements. Maybe not sci-fi, but what about local TV?
Sure, limit
what
your audience.
What stop you from having a 30-second ad on local TV?
Test it out in the cable market.
Yeah.
Right, cable market.
In a local cable market where you can run it for a while, it won't cost a lot of money, and you can see what kind of return you get.
We're looking at it because we could get a 30-second spot off on Sci-Fi for $12.
See?
Wow, really?
Yeah, yeah. Now, it's only one spot. Don't get me wrong. But still.
That's amazing.
You're taking that decision to your board or something? I got 12 for you.
I don't know that.
We're looking at it. We're looking at it. They have minimums and stuff like that, but your per run, I mean, your per 30-second spot comes down to between $10 and $12 off peak. So, I mean, you're not getting the most viewers, but it's still pretty reasonable.
That's amazing. And I'm going to bring in another caller here because she always has some really good ideas about revenue streams. Doc and Dave, are you there?
Yep, we're here.
So what are your thoughts, Lisa, about, you know, advertising, say, on Sci-Fi for The Cell or for other similar web series? What do you think about that? Would it be worth it to advertise on a cable network like Sci-Fi if it brings in a large number of viewers?
Oh, I think so. I think absolutely. I think, you know, just want to go on a little tangent off here a little bit. When you were talking about how network TV is kind of being really underestimating the audience being, you know, kind of dumbing us down. You know, it's not that we have short attention spans. It's the way we want our information and the way we obtain our information is we want it instantaneous. That's why the digital downloads are, you know, for songs and shows on iTunes are so popular. But when it comes to entertainment, you know, we want the slow build. So I think, you know, when you're doing, you know, advertising to show these shows, you know, on Sci-Fi or any of these other ones, I think it would be a real good thing because, you know, that's where everybody's going. Now, when you look at some of the network shows like The Office on NBC, they would have been canceled had, you know, they didn't get this with iTunes. Because right now what's saving The Office is the fact that people are downloading the shows on iTunes. You know? So I think that shows that there is a market for people wanting to watch web series or, you know, to, you know, they're tired of watching shows on television. I mean, Dave and I, we don't watch live TV anymore. We'll DVR it. And even now we're getting sick of the DVR because, you know, we have to sit there and fast forward through how many commercials, you know, and the appeal of the web is that.
Right.
But,
no, go ahead.
Okay, and what the appeal of the web is you've got, you can do a 30-second ad like on Coldcast, and then you've got, you know, 5 or 6 minutes or even up to 15 on some shows where you can watch uninterrupted. And so I think if there's a...
Yes, so the pre-roll advertising doesn't bother you at all.
Right.
Because I don't mind pre-roll or post-roll advertising.
Right.
Right? It's only when it's in the middle that it's annoying.
Yeah. I'm wondering, what about product placement? It's kind of hard to do with a show like The Cell. Kind of hard to do with a show like
I'm not sure. You always find the makers of cattle prods. That was my mom's suggestion.
It's a good, you know, it's a cattle prod.
If you got twisted enough, you can figure out ways to enter it in just to, you know, just screw with your brain. But that's just
Quaker oatmeal.
I did have it first. I was like, ooh, it's like chicken and waffles just in a big mush. No, actually, it's like, okay.
Correctional union. Correctional officers union brings you the cell.
Whatever it takes, man. I'll do it.
There's a web series called Empire and High Rise. And when we produced the Indie Soap Awards, they actually won the award for business model / product placement because of the way that they do it and the way that they work with local businesses. I think they work with the local Macy's, and they've been picked up by their local Fox affiliate to show the show. And I mean, that kind of stuff is fascinating to me. I know that the Bannon Way, and we've been talking about them a lot, has a, don't they do product placement with Jaguar?
I think so.
Yeah, they do.
Not everybody can do that.
Yeah, I've got one out back. That's just,
yeah, let me go. Mean. One of the two that I have sitting in the back.
Run around the neighborhood and find
somebody. You've got product placement, you've got sponsorship, you've got, you know, on-demand pay for download. I still think distribution is the way that it's going to be, but I realize that that's not going to bring enough money in to make these shows viable for the creators so that everybody can get something out of them. There isn't enough money in click-through advertising online, at least not yet. So I'm not sure what we're going to land on or what the genre is going to land on that's going to be the answer. What do you think of large networks like, or large-ish networks like Coldcast, Mark, as being the answer, perhaps? You pay for the channel, you pay for Coldcast, and then there's some kind of deal worked out between the network and the user. I use Coldcast as an example, not them in particular. Could be Crackle, Hulu, could be Flip, I don't know.
My gut, just me personally, and again, what do I know? I'm sitting in cow country with cows outside the hotel window, so what do I know? But my gut is that some form of the network model is going to end up being the way to go, whether it's a advertising revenue share or whether it gets to the point where these networks like Coldcast or Crackle or something just directly fund production houses or buy content from production houses, kind of similar to a current broadcast network would do. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but it feels like that's kind of where we're going. I don't know. Again, I could be wrong.
I agree with you, Mark. That's where I think it's going. I just hope that it ends up being people like Coldcast and Blip TV that are the pioneers in that and who are the ones who lead the way, rather than NBC, CBS, Fox. You know what I mean? I hope it's people who understand independent creators and the nature of new media.
I would agree with that, and I think we're in good shape. One of the great things about Coldcast is they're very friendly to independent creators. That's been my experience, at least so far. And I haven't seen that kind of openness in the few conversations I've been able to squeeze out with anybody in the network that's looking at new media streams. So I think they've got a leg up. They understand the market better.
I hope that's the way that it's going to go. There's some talent out there, a lot of talent out there. And the Cell is just the tip of the iceberg, I think, even from you and from Jordan. I think you guys have a lot more, and there is a lot more still to come with a lot of these creators that are out here. You guys are the groundbreakers. You guys are the ones that are leading the way, especially with dramatic series, because it's always been comedy up till now. Now you're seeing dramas come in and start to really be a force to be reckoned with. There's actually a drama in the audience finalists for the Streamies, which I was shocked about.
That is shocking.
Only one drama made it into the audience choice nominee. But it was still, there is a drama. It was Anyone But Me. They're the only one. Out of 10 nominees, I believe, there's one drama.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Is that, why do you think that is? Is that a lack of quality dramas currently, or is it just the lack of viewer exposure to it? There's not as many fans watching.
Lack of viewer exposure to drama. Mm-hmm. I think it's that.
I agree on that. I totally agree on that.
Comedy just seems to overwhelm the drama, because like you said earlier, Mark, when you were first trying to come up with the way to go with your web series, everyone was telling you, go with comedy, go with comedy, go with comedy, go with comedy. Well, yeah, because, you know, anybody can find a dog to crap on a sidewalk or make a fart joke.
Well, not anybody can do really good comedy.
No.
But I mean, because Downsize shows that not all comedies are made the same. Downsize is hilarious. And we can do that, by the way.
An intelligent comedy, that's the difference.
But yeah, I mean, I think it really comes down to viewer awareness. Because I've had people tell me that they think there's only one or two dramas out there, and I can give them a list, as long as they're armed, of dramas that they watch.
Look at Coldcast. I mean, how they advertise. I mean, we just started watching Descending Darkness and Fissure, which we just saw when we were watching The Cell, and we saw those, you know, banner ads come up, and then we clicked on it, and we were like, wow, that's really cool.
Well, yeah, that's how I found out Tyranny and Fissure and Darkness Descending is brilliant.
You know, I wonder, too.
I want to shout out Frank Kruger from the Darkness Descending, who sat with me through a lot of screenings and at the awards show, and him and Wiley Small are about the nicest people I ever met. That's all I wanted to say.
I'm glad you did. I think that Frank and Mark and Greg and Bernie, these are people who, you guys care about dramas. And I would say the same thing about Tina and Susan and anyone but me. And, you know, clearly the people who are making Tyranny have proved that you can make sci-fi on a low budget, which who knew? I just think it's about awareness. It's about letting the audience know that there are dramas out there that are worth it. And it has to be through word of mouth. And it has to be, maybe Mark will be the first drama to advertise on sci-fi. Who knows?
Hey, Dusty, I just thought of something. You know, you guys were talking about if you were to advertise, you know, like the cell and that on the networks. I know that with Coldcast, you know, you have those little trailers to all the shows now. It'd be kind of cool to see the trailer for some of these shows to hit some of the networks or cables to get people, you know, interested, just like how they do with film.
Yeah.
I thought.
And yeah, just to throw out that a little bit on that topic here, we've actually talked about a couple of things. I'll tease this just a little bit. We do have the beginnings of an ARG plan to go along with Cell, and we had talked to them about possibly integrating that into some ad space. It does become an issue because then we start losing the ability to have those pre-roll ads, which then means less revenue for the content creators where those ads are streaming. So it's a fine line they're walking. I think they're doing a great job with it, and they have looked at that kind of stuff before. I just think they're trying to figure out.
Oh, no.
Who did we lose?
Did we lose Mark?
Nope, I'm here.
Nope.
Hello?
Okay. Mark's still here. I think we might have lost Riley.
Oh,
bummer.
Oh,
Walk Talk does this to me. Sometimes it'll just refresh and I lose everybody. Sometimes I only lose one or two. And I hate to say this, but we're down to 3 minutes remaining in the show.
Oh,
so,
that's not fair.
Mark, what I want to do before we leave with both you and Jordan is I want to kind of, can you give us a preview of what's coming in episode number 5 and when we might be able to expect to see that?
A preview of 5. No, but...
Oh, come on now.
It'll take place in a cell.
Yeah, it will take place in a cell. That's what I can tell you on episode 5. We are planning right now. We're still hammering out some of our post-production issues. We're having some issues redoing our process and trying to make things a little more streamlined, and it's really hammering us. But our goal is April 14th. We are looking to start launching regular episodes weekly at that point. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed. We're shooting for the 14th. We think we can make that. But that's where we're at right now. And we should have episode 5, and then we should be weekly after that from that point forward. Any teasers? I don't know, Jordan. What do you think? No? Yes?
Ooh, I'm leaving that up to you.
Oh, gee, thanks. Oh, no. I know
better. I know better.
Yeah, okay. I'll let you off the hook on the teasers because, really, I don't really want to know.
Well, the man will be around soon again. We've been missing the man.
There you go. That's a good one, yeah.
Jordan, where might we be able to see Seeds or The Curfew?
Oh, well, let's see. Seeds is in post right now, and I'm about to get some scenes from that for my reel. I actually haven't seen Seeds. The Curfew is, I believe, being entered into festivals around right now, so I'll let you know if that's anywhere in your area anytime soon.
And because I would like the little poster thing they have for Curfew looks really cool.
Oh, the poster for Curfew?
It looks awesome.
Isn't that creepy? Did you take a close look at my eye?
Oh, no, now I have to go back.
Fries and narrow, you have to go back and look. It's creepy.
Before we run out of time, Mark, thank you. Jordan, thank you for calling in. You're one of our favorite series, and it was great that you were able to join us and talk about it. And to really get into some deep subject matter that some people might not want to talk about.
Well, thank you so much for letting us come out. I mean, I love the show, and getting a chance to sit down and talk with people who care about the medium, too, is great. So thank you so much for letting us come on.
Yeah, thank you for being so.
Oh, thank you for being on. Thank you for producing such a great show. And hopefully in the future we can get Bernie and Greg and the people from Downsize and Central Division on. And I think next week we may have Frank Krueger from Darkness Descending.
Awesome.
So have a nice weekend. You guys get back to work on that post-production stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
Next week.
We'll get on it.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Bye, thanks,
George.
Everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tools.